Chapter 10. Prophecies concerning the Jews before the captivity. The Lord promised to give the seed of Abraham the land of Canaan. The Lord appeared unto Abram and said, "Unto thy seed will I give this land." This was the land of Canaan, into which Abraham had entered in obedience to the word of the Lord. The whole extent of the promised land was afterwards thus set forth in greater detail to Abraham, and established by a covenant. "Unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. The Kenites, and the Kenizzites, and the Kadmonites, and the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Rephaims, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Girgashites, and the Jebusites." This covenant oath was confirmed to Isaac when he went into the land of the Philistines in the time of the famine. "Unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father." The promised donation was again confirmed to his son Jacob, and when he lay on the ground on his journey to Padanaram, "I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed." It was further promised that his seed should be multiplied exceedingly, even as the dust on the earth, or the stars in heaven innumerable. "I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered." And again, "Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars if thou be able to number them." And he said unto him, "So shall thy seed be." Now we find that hindrances came in the way of the fulfillment of both these promises, so that it seemed impossible and hopeless that they should ever be fulfilled. But this was no strange thing that happened to Abraham and his seed, because a faithful, promising God will often allow this to occur, so that when the promised blessing is realized, it will be all the sweeter and all the more evident as the work of God, so that those who receive it are constrained to say, "This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes." Take then the promise of the innumerable seed first. Before Isaac was born, both Abraham and Sarah had become so old that it could not be expected that they should have a child. But the divine promise must be fulfilled, and so Isaac is born when Abraham was 100 years old, which was 25 years after he had received the promise. Then, when Isaac was grown to years and had married Rebekah, how they had to cry to the Lord for a further fulfillment of this promise, which came about by the birth of Jacob. Then, in course of time, Jacob had 12 sons, and from these sprang the 12 tribes of Israel. Of these, Moses could say before he died, "The Lord your God hath multiplied you, and behold, ye are this day as the stars of heaven for multitude." Balaam also had said, "Who can count the dust of Jacob, and the number of the fourth part of Israel?" At a still later stage in the history of this people, Solomon had to exclaim, "Thy servant is in the midst of thy people which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. For Judah and Israel were many, as the sand which is by the sea in multitude." Now as to the seed of Abraham inheriting the promised land. Here again there intervened a great and apparently insurmountable obstacle. But even this had also been revealed to Abraham by the Lord, that it should be so. Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterward shall they come out with great substance. So in course of time, when the famine was great in Canaan, Jacob and his sons and their families, 70 in all, had to go down into Egypt, and there, although they multiplied and waxed very mighty, they were held in hard bondage and captivity until the 400 years had expired. At length, the strong arm of the Lord was put forth against their captors, the Egyptians, and the children of Israel were brought out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day it came to pass, that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. Their enemies were overwhelmed in the Red Sea, while they themselves went through on dry land, so that they could believe they would be brought into the promised land, and said in their song to the Lord, Thou shalt bring them in, and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in. But even now there comes a further hindrance. Moses sent one from each of the 12 tribes to spy out the promised land. But when they saw the giants that dwelt there, and their walled cities, the hearts of 10 of the spies fainted, and they brought back an evil report, and discouraged the people from going up to possess the land. Their unbelief and murmuring provoked the Lord to punish the children of Israel by causing them to wander in the wilderness for 40 years longer, until all that generation had died, with the exception of the 2 faithful spies, Joshua and Caleb. Moses and Aaron also died, but the time came when they were given a miraculous crossing of the river Jordan and enabled to dispossess the Canaanites under the leadership of Joshua. At first, their possession of the promised land was a partial one, and at the time that Joshua died, and there was still much to be done before the promise was completely fulfilled. Judah was the first tribe to endeavor to obtain the whole of their possession. But although largely successful, they could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley, because they had chariots of iron. Also Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem. Neither did Manasseh drive out the inhabitants of Beth-shean and her towns, etc. Neither did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites that dwelt in Gezer. Neither did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kitron, etc. Neither did Asher drive out the inhabitants of Akko, etc. Neither did Naphtali drive out the inhabitants of Beth-shemesh, etc. And the Amorites forced the children of Dan into the mountains. David, when he was made king over all Israel, took the stronghold of Mount Zion in Jerusalem, and extended his dominions so far as to get garrisons in Moab, Syria, and Edom, and to take the crown of the king of Ammon and put it on his own head. But it was left to his son Solomon to obtain the full extent of inheritance promised to Abraham, for He reigned over all the kings, from the river even unto the land of the Philistines, and to the border of Egypt. But Solomon was turned aside by outlandish women, having married many wives who were not of Israel, but turned his heart to serve their idols. This provoked the Lord to bring about a division of 10 of the tribes from Judah and Benjamin, as he had foretold Solomon. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, Forasmuch as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee, and will give it to thy servant. This was Jeroboam, to whom also the Lord had promised to give 10 of the tribes. Behold, I will rend the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon, and will give 10 tribes to thee. This was solemnly fulfilled after the death of Solomon, whose son Rehoboam was allowed to retain only Judah and Benjamin, the other 10 tribes falling away to Jeroboam. The policy of the latter was now to keep his subjects from going up to Jerusalem, lest they should turn back to Rehoboam. And to further this design, he made 2 calves of gold and said, Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And he set the one in Bethel, and the other he put in Dan. He also made an altar at Bethel, and priests to offer sacrifices thereon to these idols, establishing feasts similar to those which had been ordained for the worship of the Lord at Jerusalem. So the 10 tribes were turned to idolatry, and the Lord sent a man of God out of Judah unto Bethel, who prophesied against the altar which Jeroboam had made, saying, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, Behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. As a sign that this would surely come to pass, the altar was rent in the sight of Jeroboam, and the ashes poured out from it. Here was a prophecy of God's rejection of his idolatrous and backsliding people, revealing the very name of the king of Judah by whom it should be affected. And 350 years later, it was punctually fulfilled. Josiah was a godly king of Judah, and when only 18 years of age, he commenced to reform the worship of God in Judah and Jerusalem. In addition to this, he brake in pieces the images, and cut down the groves, and filled their places with the dead bones of men. Moreover, the altar that was at Bethel, and the high place which Jeroboam the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, had made, both that altar and the high place he brake down, and burnt the high place, and stamped it small to powder, and burnt the grove. And as Josiah turned himself, he spied the sepulchres that were there in the mount, and sent and took the bones out of the sepulchres, and burnt them upon the altar, and polluted it, according to the word of the Lord, which the man of God proclaimed, who proclaimed these words. But the 10 tribes turned yet more and more to their idolatrous ways, which provoked the Lord to send the Assyrian nation against them, to carry them away with a mighty captivity. This he foretold by his prophet Isaiah. The Lord shall bring upon thee and upon thy people and upon thy father's house days that have not come, from the day that Ephraim departed from Judah, even the king of Assyria. Now therefore, behold, the Lord bringeth up upon them the waters of the river, strong and many, even the king of Assyria and all his glory. And he shall come up over all his channels and go over all his banks. O Assyrian, the rod of mine anger, and the staff in their hand is mine indignation. I will send him against a hypocritical nation, and against the people of my wrath will I give him a charge, to take the spoil, and to take the prey, and to tread them down like the mire of the streets. Hosea also prophesied of the Assyrian conquests. He, Israel, shall not return into the land of Egypt, but the Assyrian shall be his king, because they refused to return. The fulfillment of these prophecies is recorded, both in the scriptures and in the annals of the Assyrians themselves. When Hoshea was king in Samaria over the 10 tribes, against him came up Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, and Hoshea became his servant and gave him presents. In the 9th year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria took Samaria and carried Israel away into Assyria and placed them in Hela and in Habor by the river of Gozan and in the cities of the Medes. So far the scripture records. And if we look at the records of the Assyrian monarchs, we find that Tiglath-Pileser writes as follows. The land of Beth-Ormai, Samaria, the distant, the whole of its inhabitants, together with their property, I deported to Assyria. Pekah, their king, I slew. Hoshea I appointed to rule over them. Then later on, King Sargon of Assyria has the following record. I besieged and captured the town of Samaria. 27,280 of their inhabitants I carried away. 50 chariots I took as my royal share. In place of them, I assigned abodes to the inhabitants of countries taken by me. In the course of time, the Assyrians themselves were severely punished, and Nineveh overthrown, also according to divine prediction. But this we have already dealt with in the fulfilling of prophecies concerning the Assyrians. But now we have to consider those which relate to Judah and Jerusalem. Hitherto they had remained more or less faithful to the Lord and to his worship in the temple at Jerusalem. Several good kings had been given them, but now the time came, and when they too so declined from the right ways of the Lord as to provoke him to threaten their removal and their conquest by the Chaldeans under King Nebuchadnezzar. Let us see what was prophesied concerning this and how all was fulfilled. It fell largely to the lot of Jeremiah to make known this heavy tidings to Judah, although Isaiah had given the first hint of it to Hezekiah after he had received the ambassadors from Babylon. Behold, the days come, that all that is in thine house, and that which thy fathers have laid up in store until this day, shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. But Jeremiah told the kings of Judah in his days again and again of this threatened judgment. Behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land and against the inhabitants thereof, and will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment and an hissing and perpetual desolations. Habakkuk also had said, "For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs." And then Ezekiel followed, saying, "This burden concerneth the prince in Jerusalem and all the house of Israel that are among them. My net also will I spread upon him, and he shall be taken in my snare, and I will bring him to Babylon and to the land of the Chaldeans." The fulfillment of these prophecies we have recorded also in the scriptures of truth. Against him, Jehoiakim, came up Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and bound him in fetters to carry him to Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar also carried of the vessels of the house of the Lord to Babylon, and put them in his temple at Babylon. And later on, when Zedekiah had been made king in Jerusalem and had rebelled, the Lord brought upon him the king of the Chaldees, and they burnt the house of God and brake down the wall of Jerusalem and burnt all the palaces thereof with fire and destroyed all the goodly vessels thereof. And them that had escaped from the sword carried he away to Babylon, where they were servants to him and to his sons. Afterwards, Babylon was punished and overthrown, as was also predicted by Jeremiah, and as we have already described in connection with the prophecies concerning Babylon.